There's three big announcements. One of them is on UNDRIP, the Declaration of Indigenous Rights, the United Nations Declaration. You're gathering in submissions, recommendations, kōrero, whakaaro, starting next year. Now, I wanted to start with that because there was an announcement by you earlier this year on UNDRIP and the backlash by Pākehā media. Oh my goodness. So while we, you know, this is about the promotion and the positive development of Indigenous peoples, that's us Māori, it was all about, but what about Pākehā? What are they going to say? How is it going to affect them? Nothing about us.
Well, it's funny, eh? You would think that it's in the United Nations Declaration for Indigenous People that you'd talk with the Indigenous people, you know, but given that's what it's called, you know. So I don't know what they got all precious and territorial about. Your party started it all, and quite rightfully so, and Key addressed it and handed it on to Peter Sharples to deal with. And so National quite rightfully progressed it, and then it hit some blocks, Claudette. So, you know, then the NIA picked it up again, as Professor Margaret Mutu reminded us today, and then I've picked it up after Minister Mahuta. So, and, you know, this is something to be proud of, you know, in my view, you know, because we're talking about a charter that is not, here's the other side of it, as you know, Claude, it's not binding. So, you know, you talk about, you know, basic human rights and also the rights of workers. We talk about what manawahine in it. It's wonderful, really, I think. And with it not being binding, you wonder what all the fuss is all about. But your old party, of course, went crazy, and the ACT party.
Can I tell you why they went crazy? Because under a Labor government with a minister like you, Willie Jackson, that word not binding may very well become binding. And that's a whakaaro form with Māori, isn't it? Why is it not binding? And that is what the problem is with National. They think that under Labor and you, as that minister, could very well be that.
Well, that's the
line. So why is it not binding?
Well, no, the charter's always not been binding. You know, it's not a binding charter. That's why I think National probably took it up in the first place. But you know, the other side, I remember watching Hone Haruwera talk about it, you know, and I thought he did well. He said, you know, and he was actually comfortable with it not being binding. And I think I saw Hone talking about 5 years ago, and what he said was, you know, the values and the principles are good values and principles to live by, and why shouldn't we have the kaupapa, because it complements so much of the mahi. Look, and I'll be frank, that both parties have gone down the track of, which is equity, which is the treaty settlements process. You know, we know National started that. We know that Labor has also gone down that track very much in the last 3 years. Nothing to be scared of. And so today, Claudette, it was just about meeting with our Māori organisations, telling them about the plan, telling them about, you know, asking for their input, what is their support, and then we start this consultation process amongst Māori over the first few months till the end of the year to get their whakaaro on what they think should be in a declaration plan over the next year or so. So good hui today in terms of initial Māori organisations from all walks of life, and then it'll go out through the iwi leaders, urban organisations, and it should be a good process.
Mm. Thank you very much. Look, and the second one is you 50 years next year on the presentation of the petition, Māori language petition, and you mentioned Nanaia Mahuta as well too. She was the one that picked up the tono for the UNDRIP. I wanted to mention her at the same time as this petition because she's been in Parliament 25 years now, and it was only 25 years before her time that the petition was handed to Parliament. So, you know, timing is just incredible. It's only been 25 years before her time.
25 years, Nanaia came into Parliament in 1996, and I stood for Parliament in 1996 too, believe it or not. I was thinking when MMP came in, that's when I first stood. But, you know, she was a young woman, and obviously someone who was destined for leadership. and groomed by her father, her brilliant father, and by a number of people in Tainui, and you know, Tainui and women and Māori should feel very proud of her, because you know, our first foreign affairs Māori minister, for Labour, our first Māori foreign affairs minister, but she was actually the first woman minister of Māori affairs. And that was the other side of it, which is incredible, eh, Claudette? So she's had some real milestones, and really proud of her, and working with her well. And now, of course, the petition is coming up 50 years. And I've done a couple of interviews today, and, you know, when I look at it, I see my auntie, Auntie Hannah. Auntie Hannah Jackson, who you knew, and you know, she was young, and I get a little bit sad. It was quite funny when someone was interviewing me on national radio today, and I said, you know, that's my auntie. You know, she married my uncle Sid Jackson, who was my father's brother, but I was very close to Auntie Hannah, because she was vivacious, she was real pro-Māori, and she had lots of guts and courage, and watching her, you know, you see her presenting the petition, and you get a bit sad too, you know, thinking about her. You remember her in the Aotearoa radio days, she'd be up there doing her thing in terms of our young models, remember that? She used to have all that, and she was terrific, Auntie, and she always was an auntie to us. Even when her and my Uncle Sid split, we always had a close relationship. She stayed with us for a while, and she'd be so proud, Claudette, of where we are today in terms, because I was asked, you know, where were we in 50 years ago? Well, you know, they didn't have a lot of support amongst Māori.
No.
That's what Auntie Hannah and Uncle Sid and them, you know, like they were a bit scorned, too radical. It wasn't just Pākehās who criticised them, it was a heck of a lot of Māori causing too much trouble, Claudette. And what are those Māori's doing? But, they, you know, you've got to meet to them, whether it was Auntie and Uncle Sid and Titi Whai Harawera and Rawiri Paratene, you know, it was Tame Iti, Donna Awatere, you know, they were all fighters for our reo, and most of them with Ngāti Matua, not Māori speakers, Claudette. So,
yes.
You know, today we're going to be celebrating it under what we call the Tier 1 status, which means it's given more mana, more support, more government agencies will back it over the next year or so, and we'll have our functions everywhere. And I'm just proud to promote it. Right now, when we're in the middle of a lot of stress with you media lot, and it's always good to have a bit of positivity too sometimes amongst the mayhem, I suppose, Claudette, to have a really beautiful kaupapa like that.
I just want to interrupt you there and say, with you media lot, actually with that Pākehā media lot, not us, there is a big difference. And I just want to also just mihi to you and to Minister Henare, and it's the housing initiative, the Whaika order as well too, because let's face it, we need houses up in Te Tai Tukaro, Te Tai Rāwhiti. So one of the issues, apart from the funding, is the RMA, and so you're ditching that. It allows infrastructure to go in, because that was crippling regardless of where you were around the country. It was bloody terrible. And the other thing that is a bit of a problem that we haven't quite sorted out, and that's the banks, though, Willie. So great that tribes are coming in behind, but we still can't get those home loans from those banks unless we have big collateral. Even the tribes are saying that they're finding it difficult to manoeuvre that. What can be done about those banks?
Well, we're working alongside Minister Robinson in terms of that, because we have always had a problem in terms of access to capital, eh? Always. But I think I'm glad you've acknowledged what we've been trying to do in housing, because one of the keys has been that with my agency, we made a really informed decision to collaborate with the mainstream, so a mainstream agency. So it wasn't just about papakāinga and Māori housing repairs. It was better for us when we put our budget pūtea proposal together for us to combine our efforts with the mainstream agency. That's what you've seen here. So you have the Māori Development Minister working with Penny, who's an associate minister, but more you know, but working with Megan Woods, so she's working with two Māori ministers in terms of the future of our Māori housing. That's been really productive, Claude. And what's happened in the past is when they've been dealing with Māori families in mainstream, they didn't know these whānau. So we've been able to use a lot of our people in terms of TPK and the regions to work at closely with Māori. That's one of the big changes in Māori housing. And then on top of that, we're going to try and use all our influences and our influence in terms of trying to access capital for our people and working alongside iwi leaders and iwi representatives, Māori leaders in the city also. So, you know, there's some real changes that are happening as we address this housing crisis.
Right. Thank you very much for talking to us about those. I just want to pick up on one point, and again, it is around the media and it is around the Pākehā media. Today, a question to Minister, to Grant Robertson at the 1 o'clock stand-up. The comment was from the media, Māori are at the centre of the COVID-19, the Delta crisis currently. Minister Robertson said, yes, that's an interesting fact. I said there is a bit of an issue with that comment. Not so much, and I think that Minister Robertson's response was a little bit clumsy. But the comment from the media backs onto the comment that was made last week around the gangs. Should gang members be given special privilege to cross the border when none of them had talked about the reason why their gang leaders were coming across the border, and obviously it was to assist us. The following question on from, should they get privilege, should they have privilege coming across the border, should we be focusing on gangs, was the next comment, as though Māori is at the centre of the, Māori are at the centre of the issue. We are not the problem. And it is not the media's place to say who should and who should not be receiving a vaccination. My question to you then is, well, there isn't one.
No. I think you've made an observation, which I think is a very good observation. And I think Grant, and I only just caught up with this because I've been in Zooms all day and I only got briefed on this about an hour or so ago, had a look at it, and I think you know and I know what he meant. And it was a bit of a clip. And I think, you know, given a bit more thought, he would have probably been a bit tighter with the response because he's actually exceptional with the media. And believe it or not, too, Claudette, particularly pro-Māori, you know, he's been really good to work with. His partner is from Ngāti Pro, you know, so I always give him a bit of a hard time about that. I says, don't forget the old and all the
Ngāti. Doesn't make him Māori. Minister.
No, but it makes his partner Māori, and that means he's got obligations, you know. So, you know, our tikanga and our partners are embraced in terms of our iwi, eh? So, and he takes to that, and I like the way I've enjoyed working with Grant, and I think he answered it along the lines that you're talking. He didn't answer it as well as he should have, but he didn't like the idea of Māori being singled out either. I think that's where Grant was coming from. And you're absolutely right. We're not the problem at all. We're trying to solve the problem. Māori aren't the problem, and we're trying to offer solutions in terms of gangs, for instance. As you well know, I'm working in that area right now. And why? Because there could be flow-ons if we don't fix the gang problem. And I'm working well with some of the representatives and leaders right now. Then there'll be a flow-on, as is happening right now anyway, sadly. But it's not just from the gangs. But you've got flow-ons in terms of the wider community. So we have to do anything and everything to try and stop that. And that's why I'm working closely with them right now.
Yeah, look, we absolutely get that. So I guess the point is then, why can we not hear from the Māori ministers rather than the usual, And it's because of the messaging. It's because they're the, you know, senior ministers. Totally get all of that. But as we get down into the thick end for Māori, where we really want to encourage our whānau to get out, wouldn't it be more appropriate, relevant, to have Māori up there on the stage?
I think I've heard this point. Someone said that. In fact, somebody else told me about this coming off your show. in fact, well, you're the troublemaker. Was it you and Rawiri Tonui, I think? someone mentioned it to me to the other. Mentioned it to me the other day. Look, the point is fair. My response to it is, there are only three Pākehā ministers who ever get up there. So remember, there are 25 of us or whatever it is, and it's only the boss, Grant and Chippy and Chris. That's it. It's only three Pākehās who get up. You know, there's no woman who get up. You never see any woman get up there.
Yeah, Minister Verrall has.
Oh, she has jumped in there a few times, yeah. She's good too. She's
good. Then we had Kiritapu Allen. Mind you, that was for the earthquake, but,
Well, Kiritapu's a star too, you know, and I love Kitty. You know, she's... I've heard about it, but really, in 99% of the time, it's those three. So I don't know. Do you think our people are watching the 1 o'clock?
No, they're not watching the 1 o'clock. Absolutely, they're not. They absolutely are not watching the 1 o'clock. You're completely right. And so you're talking to a particular audience. That is right. And of course, we are not going to watch the 1 o'clock stand-ups, Minister. If the Prime Minister, and I love her dearly, if the Prime Minister talks to us about now we can go out with our yoga mats and do some yoga in the park. Chang talks to no South Auckland woman, now is she?
Well, look, play dates.
We don't do play dates, we do hookups on the street corner. You kind of wonder why we're not listening.
You're sounding like my wife. She's been trying to get back to Rotorua, and she's been turned around twice at the border. She came back again today because she wants to go down to see Dad, who because Dad's very sick. She's got her papers and everything. She's very frustrated at the moment, you know. And she said, maybe I should have been a prostitute. I said, don't be talking like that, you know. don't be talking like that, you know. She goes, oh, it's so frustrating, you know. And, she was obviously. She's getting frustrated, but look, the police are doing their job. She's twice been turned around, yet she's got all the papers. And then today she got turned around because they said she hadn't had her test in the last 72 hours, but she'd had her test the other day. So there's some real strictness being rolled out at the border. This is a very tough, very, very tough time, and I think Māori have to step up to our job. My job, along with the others, is to keep working closely with our Māori providers. You're with your bloody cousin JT, who drives me crazy, but
he's off to the High Court, as you know.
Oh yeah, and
I guess he's got a point though, hasn't he, Minister? I mean, give us the stats and the data.
Well, of course, no, he's got a point, and Penny and I have made that clear to the Ministry of Health. But that aside, he's working really well with us and with my agency, and we're just looking after all his needs right now because he's vaccinating more Māori than anyone. Yeah. So one thing with JT, he hasn't made it personal with us because we're working well together, and I respect the work that he's doing. We all love the work he's doing. And my view, as is Penny's view, is whatever it takes. So I'm hoping he can get that data soon because, I don't know what's going to happen on court if we go to court, and it's a better look if John or Māori get what they need to access the data, Claudette.
Could the ministers not just tell the ministry not to take them to, you know, not to take up the court action? So they could have refused and just settled.
Well, that's right. What about your Māori party mates? God, they're a bit off the edge, aren't they? Jesus. Well, if you read, Rawiri and Debbie I think she got a bit touchy with me. Debbie Ngarewa Peko. Somebody said that I don't call her Debbie Ngarewa. Well, she don't call me William Wakatiret, so I've always called her Deb, because we've known her for many years. And she's, don't get me wrong, she's a great advocate for them, as is Rawiri. But I think they're a bit off the edge at the moment. Now they're going to The Guardian saying we're on the edge of extermination. There's 28 deaths, Claudette. You know, I mean, don't get carried away here, you know. We put the pressure on us in terms of getting resourcing out to our people. Make sure about the vaccinations, but let's not get carried away. In general, this country is not collapsing, although we're all worried at the moment with the spread of infection, and so we have to just double our efforts in terms of vaccinations. No doubt about it.
I just want to go back to JT and to, you know, Muma and to Tūtaki Health and every other health provider around the country kicked in and worked tirelessly, not just now, but last year as well, too, in spite of the fact that your government's national strategy was a load of rubbish, had no impact on Māori whatsoever. You should have just stepped aside and let Māori get on with the job. We would have been so much further down the track than what we are now.
You'll get in, you know. I think you might have been in that job too long. That was one of the silliest statements I've ever heard from you. You know, are you the one leading the narrative against us? We give them 75 million in the last 3 months. You know, we're working at the core.
Yes, that's right. That's right, Minister. In the last 3 months. Should have been last year. And you know why they got given 78 million? Because you Māori in the Labour caucus had to hustle behind closed doors to get that Pūtea. I know you have worked tirelessly over those months. It was not easy. It was not easy to get that Pūtea. I know. Yeah.
75 million, we prioritised over 65s. You know, I hear all these brilliant Māori commentators going, oh, they didn't prioritise Māori. Yes, we did. The over 65s, absolutely. Now we've got them at 90%. There was always going to be a lag. You know this because between the 12-year-old and the 40-year-olds, they weren't able to access the vaccines till September the 1st.
Yeah,
Are you trying to tell me if we had done everything right, we would have ticked the boxes? You know, and I know that some of your cousins, no matter what we would have given the Māori providers, they'd still come out with their maniacal reasons for not being vaccinated. And doesn't matter how much resourcing we give JT. No, don't get me wrong, it might have been a bit better, but we still got a problem with our people. Despite Rawiri and the Māori Party saying, no, we don't have a problem with our people. Our people make informed decisions. There's a percentage, not huge, between 5%, I'd say 5% to 8% maybe, Claudette, will say no matter what. So that's why I'm saying, yes, blame the government, but let's look at ourselves too, Claudette. You're a mother, you're a leader in your own right in terms of Māori broadcasting and in other areas before. You have an obligation to drive our people. Don't sit back like Rawiri Jensen and says, Rawiri Jensen, who I like very much, what I had. Our kids go to King's College together. But Rawiri Jensen will sit in front of you and go, there's no problem with Māoris. You know, you've heard them, you've interviewed them. No, our people don't have a problem. What planet are you on, Rawiri? There's about 5% to 8% who hate us. They hate us, Claudette. They hate, whether it's Labour, National, they hate the system.
They hate authority.
You know this.
Yes. Yeah, they hate authority.
But they're aided by Rawiri and Paparangi, who are doing who are doing wonderful work. You know, I don't mean to get personal, and I know they get hoha with me, but I get hoha with them because they start saying, no, Māoris don't have a problem. No, it's not the Māoris' fault. It's all the government's fault. It's some of the government's fault, but we as Māori have to stand up too. We can't let our people off the hook. Apiranga never did. You know, Apiranga never did. Nor did James Henare, Penny's grandfather. We've got to add our bit here. And it's funny because Margaret Mutu said on the call the other day, she said to us, Māori doctors should just say, take the vaccine or die. So, you know, I like that coming from Margaret Mutu. Manawahine, you know. You know, we need that staunchness, eh? You know.